champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
And welcome back, everybody, to Belt Kings Radio's Presents Champions. And today, episode 9, we bring to you the NWA United States Championship. And as always, my name is Mike Knox, and always joining me is no other than nephew Corey. My kicks are my fix. What's going on, Corey?
What's going on, man? This will be a good show today, too, honestly.
You know what? As we always do, as we always say, doing the information, doing all the due diligence, if you will, about certain titles, looking at this belt, even my wife, when she saw this, me putting together the show for today, she said, out of all the U.S. belts, babe, that might be the best looking one I've ever seen. And I said, well, you know, I don't think you remember the one that came after this one.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one that Luger also is most synonymous with, if you will. So I think I know Mo Eaton has that title. I believe Rod also has that title. I do not have that U.S. title. I only have the ones that have the color, the spinner, the one Eddie Guerrero originally had, the first copy, and you see that U.S. title now that Apollo Crew has, and it's not as small of a plate at all as the original U.S. title was WWE brought together. But this also, Corey, during our research, is not the first NWA title. And that, I won't say it shocked me, but looking at other belts that preceded this one, I was kind of happy I went to this version of this title.
This one's... It's a nice one. It's a nice, clean look. That belt looks like the 80s. It's not anything, but that belt looks like the 80s, and it looks good. I like it.
Like I said, look at this title. You go back now. This is a title, not the belt itself, that guys like Bobo Brazil had. Guys like, you want to talk about the Intercontinental belt being the workhorse title of the NWA? Well, during this time, this U.S. belt was the workhorse. You had guys like Ric Flair is a 5-time United States champion. Yeah. You look at it like him and Ricky Steamboat went back to back. Bobo Brazil fought for this belt. Harley Race had this belt. You know what I mean? Jimmy Fallon had this belt. This is a title that has lineage in it. But the title in which we're talking about today, Corey, I did some more research. It's a stretchy window because it looks like it here is that the first title was given to Magnum TA after he beat Chief Wahoo McDaniel.
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Losing that belt to Tully Blanchard, getting it back from Tully Blanchard. Then it became vacant after he attacked NWA President Bob Gale. And then coming back is where it gets a little fishy because they had a tournament for the title. Or best of seven, but it was. It was a best of seven for this championship against one of my favorites of all time, Nikita Koloff versus Magnum TA, that somehow since then, the company, WWE, has just named it a tournament. But it wasn't a tournament. I remember this as a child. You cannot Men in Black mind erase me. I saw this match happening on television of this best of seven between Nikita Koloff and Magnum TA. One of the greatest rivalries to me that's never spoken about when we're talking about rivalries in professional wrestling was this title. But for argument's sake, for the history books, from what they're writing, because it's their history, the first champion of this said title, which I love, is Nikita Koloff, being the Russian sympathizer that he was, the true Russian here to bring down the United States. Corey, your thoughts, first and foremost, as always, on this title?
Design, it once again, it was close as far as size to the World Heavyweight Championship, which was the big goal by this point, but it was slightly smaller. Once again, leaning to that, how we've talked about in previous episodes, with the championship kind of signifying, you know, where you were in the ranking. Like, the world title was the world title, but the United States championship was pretty close in size. But, the popping with the stars and the stripes on there, and it wasn't overdone. It was enough where it was like, okay, I know this is the United States championship. It celebrates the United States. But it still looks like a championship title. So,
me loving this belt again, I love when my wife can see a title and says she likes that belt, because that means it stands out differently than, you know, my eye would catch something. Right. It's still not my U.S. title. I personally would still go with the one that came after this one when it became WCW's United States title. I even pretty much like the NWA United States tag titles better than this title.
Yeah, but I do. Too,
excuse me. I do like this belt, though, and the design of this title, because I'm just a fan of, as you said, belts from the 80s to me that stood out, that eagle that had to stand out because it meant United States. You know what I mean? So you had you got the big eagle in there, which, you know, as an eagle fan, that also worked for me also, right? And then it has the flags on it, or the flag of the United States on it. It just, the symbolicness of this title at this time, and looking at this belt also, Corey, it kind of remembers reminisces me, or reminds me, if you will, so to speak, a cross between Wing Eagle and the classic Intercontinental title.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, if you look at it, it kind of does in a way. And what's funny is that center plate and the center plate for the championship after this one, they kind of have same kind of, you know, small intricacies that the classic Intercontinental Championship has in the front. So that that kind of tiered plating almost that it looks like. So yeah, no, they were all very similar.
Now, looking at this belt, looking at the design of this belt, say someone wants to get this belt. Because, like I said, I went back looking at history, okay? And the United States Championship that Flair had was just a strap with literally the picture of the United a plate of the United States that's stamped on it. Nothing but that. And I said, that's one ugly title. I'm so glad they went to this belt next. And I was happy that it was that who Nikita Koloff had. And I remember this belt. I remember Barry Windham having this title. I remember this six-year run. That's all it was with this title. It was a small six-year run of this belt. And at some point, I think it was Magnum TA. No, Luger had this belt for almost 2 years. 523 days, Luger had this belt. Yeah. So anybody's a Mount Rushmore of this said title, which I give him the United States title, Mount Rushmore, period. If Luger's on any Mount Rushmore list that we will not
do, I was going to say that. That's
put, you know, put Bret Hart, it's Luger. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's funny you say that, because if there was a just overall United States championship, like, you know, Mount Rushmore, yeah, Luger is absolutely on there.
The belt you give to the guy we want to be the guy that just for some reason never became the guy, right?
Whatever
circumstances.
By circumstances is what, he never really got really full runs, but nonetheless, well, he did once, but nonetheless, no. I mean, honestly, right now, and we you know, we can do whatever we want, it's our show. I can tell you right now, with the small window of that championship, the Rushmore to me is Luger, Windham, Koloff, and Magnum TA.
Those without are my question. Without, I don't even think it's not even a conversation. A title for 6 years, right? You look at the guys you named in Wyndham, Luger, Magnum TA, and Nikita Koloff, the Russian Sickle. Those who don't know, before there was the Clothesline from Hell, there was the Russian Sickle. Okay? Just like if you're going to become a belt king, you got to have five titles, not just one. So don't go buy this United States title somewhere and think you're a belt king. In my book, you got to have five. But Corey will tell you one's good enough. And Corey, have you seen this belt anywhere? I personally can't think that I've seen anywhere.
No, you got to get one made. I've seen people with it before. Okay. So you got to, that's one you'll have to get a custom job for. But no, that belt, I mean, it's a nice clean looking title. So, I mean, it's one that, you know, if you ever saw somebody with it, you'd be like, oh, that's pretty nice.
You would definitely know what it was once you saw this belt, and you would know where it came from once you saw this belt. And what stands out for this title as a title collector, again, is it where does it rank on my list? It's really not there. But again, we always talk about deals and coming across deals. And since this show has been out, I get a lot of feedback, and I thank you guys out there for your feedback on belts and things like that. And I appreciate you and asking, where do we get titles from? How do we get belts? You know, things like that. Hashtag belt kings. Well, I will say this much. And as I said before, I will put descriptions, and I forgot last week, and thank you for the free reminder where I had to go back and add the link to FanDuel, where to find that title that you had for the FanDuel. And I thank you for that. But I want to say this, guys, as collectors, please be careful. I get flooded and flooded and flooded. And Corey, I know you, if I'm getting flooded, I know you get flooded with people who say they will make your title. And I had this one guy, and I'm going to call him out, Corey, because I think there's good business and bad business. I said, okay, let me see the back of the title. Now, I kind of knew the belt was flimsy by the way it stood up, right? Like the way the belt just the leather felt. But the top plate's here and the leather goes like this. I said, okay, let me see the back. And he goes, yeah, okay, hold on, give me a second. Then he came back and showed me the back, and it was like this wilted leather that you don't see the screws like we instructed you. If you don't see screws, if you cannot customize your own right. title, that's a belt I'm going to suggest you don't get. That's just me.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's about right. If you're, unless you're actually looking for one that's already made, if you can't, you know, make specifications at least within what the belt maker can do, then that's fine. No.
And I just don't think there's no room out here in this epidemic of belt kings, you know what I mean? Right. And taking over people, just getting championship belts. And we're going to get them where we can get them from. But it's about the quality of the belt. And it's about having that title look like the title that you see and that you want.
Right.
And to me, again, what makes this belt stand out is that smack of the NWA on top of that title. To me, that's what stands out on this belt, as well as the two side plates. It's something about, for me, the 80s side plates just are the goats of belts to me. From the TV title with the different camera angles, the wrestlers, the Greco-Roman, the corner, the lockup that they do. It's something about these belts from the 80s that just stands above any other title. This is a belt, like I said, I will add to the list, but it's not, not quite there. But in my list of NWA titles, it's about number four. Mm-hmm. What about for you,
Corey? It's up there. As far as NWA titles, might be number three for me. I mean, Big Gold. Yeah, I'm thinking Big Gold television title. Yeah, this is three.
Yes, I like that you – something about – and again
– Oh, wait, my fault. I'm thinking of something else. I'm sorry. This is – it's behind the U.S. tag titles.
That red strap on the U.S. tag title is just really –
It's behind
really,
the U.S. tag title.
Yeah, it really stands out for me. So, again – this is a belt I don't see on this WWE shop somewhere you can go pick up. This is not.
You won't
a belt.
See the NWA. Most of the NWA ones, they don't have the license for.
Yeah,
them.
So you're gonna have to go to NWA. Again, who I will always plug because I'm a fan of. So if you're listening, via YouTube or on the Facebook or podcast, I'm a fan of Google AJS belts. That's one of my top notch guys that I get my belts from, that I get my customs from, or I've ordered a custom from. I don't have it yet, but that I'm getting it from is at AJS. And also, FanDuel and those kind of guys. Just do your due diligence. Look at who I can recommend and we can recommend to you to get this belt. This is a belt out there that you're looking for. Now, Corey, we did jump the ball because you said, and this is going to be a short impromptu show, guys. It's the weekends coming up, guys. This coming, if you're looking at this episode, the holiday is upon us. And so we're going to, make a little bit of shorter for you. But that's why we go. This whole entire month will be
U.S. title month. Championships. Yeah.
U.S. title month. So look forward to that as well. And you'll find these episodes and more. You see it right there below at all the podcasts, all your social networks. You can get us there. Enough of all the advertisement. Let's get back into this title. Corey, you talked about the Mount Rushmore four of this.
Yeah. Month. Yep.
Can I? Barry Horowitz, pat in the back for that list, first of all, but also say, can we think about adding a Michael P.S. Hayes? Because I didn't know, and again, excuse the ignorance, okay? Those of you say you learn something new every week, you're learning now that Mike Knox didn't know that the Confederate flag was offensive back then. Because I watched wrestling, and it was on the Dukes of Hazzard, and it was on Michael P.S. Hayes. He was draped in it.
Yeah.
I just seen this man come out with face paint of the Confederate flag. And I just think, for what wrestling was in the 80s, you know what I mean? And what we were not educated to knowing, he was a bad shut your mouth from the bad streets of USA with this United States title. I remember his run was so damn good. It was to him being a single star. I knew about the Freebirds because I knew about them and the Von Erichs.
Right, okay? Sure.
But seeing him with this title and this single runs made me say, okay, he got it. I know he had it. With the Freebirds, but watching him solo career, I think pushed this over for me. And I think it should be a little honorable mention for Michael P.S. Hayes in this title.
I mean, you can honorable mention him, but I don't think he goes on the mount. I mean, you can honorable mention him, absolutely. Absolutely.
No Dusty. Dusty had three runs with this title in his 6 years.
I mean, with this particular – but he – they were grooming Dusty to be the guy.
Nah.
Over the rest of the – Dusty was already the guy. I mean, by this point, You know what I'm saying? So I think, I think I'm sticking with my four. I am sticking with my four.
The reason why I said put Dusty or thought Dusty, it wasn't really to change your mind necessarily. It's just to jog their memory. That match with him versus Luger at Starrcade, 87, in the cage, was just awesome. And then to see him win that match, come out the cage and give a big old hug to Baby Doll at the time, was just those matches that, if you remember, again, six-year run with this title. It's not really, you know what I mean? And especially when Luger had it. Especially when Luger had it for 523 days of a six-year run. Mm-hmm. That title run for Dusty to me, which only lasts 141 days, I said only, right? Which he loses is because he gets attacked. People, remember the attack? Come on.
Yeah.
It's the attack that I to this day made me say wrestling was real as F, as the kids would say, okay? Tully Blanchard, on this network, we talked about this, okay? When Horseman followed Dusty Rhodes and they slammed his arm in that door, was to this day the realest thing I ever seen in professional wrestling.
Yeah, that was pretty bad, because even with not necessarily related with this title, but even when the Road Warriors attacked Dusty with the spike, Dusty's attacks just seemed real like he was really getting beat up for real. His selling of it was impeccable.
And then what led that into having Barry Windham get his run, because the title was vacant by Jim Crockett, was that he ended up defeating in a tournament against Nikita Koloff. Barry Windham gets his first run, which he has for almost an entire year, 283 days with this belt. And at this time, you had Barry, I think he had went from being in the Horsemen to getting kicked out of the Horsemen at this point. I'm trying to remember. I think he left. I don't think he stayed a horse, because Luger ends up becoming a Horseman at this point in time.
Yeah.
In 89. Yeah. So I think they kicked out Luger. They kicked out Barry for Lex.
I think so. I think I got to watch it back, because there's a weird kind of timeline with Windham and Luger, because I know Windham getting kicked out, he went to the WWF at that point.
Right.
Luger getting kicked out, they were kind of trying to make him a megastar, and they were trying to build Sting and Flair at this point. It's kind of cloudy with Luger and
the Chi-Town Rumble. I wonder if the Four Horsemen was involved in that one. That's the match.
That's the match. Chi-Town Rumble in 89. That was when Luger, I think, got it back, right?
Yes.
I had to watch that back. I think Luger was a full-fledged face by then, though.
It was a full place. Okay, so then excuse my thing. I just know. I'm trying to remember that, but it was something with him, like you said, with him and Barry and that Horseman. I think they were interswapped at one point for that. I was wondering, was that reason when that title run had happened at that point?
Well, remember, the Horseman at this point, by this point in 89, because remember, whatchamacallit, remember – Tully and Arn were gone.
Yeah.
Already. I think the Horsemen might have been faces at this point.
Okay.
Because Flair because you got to figure.
But Flair was on his way.
Flair was feuding with Terry Funk at this point. Or it's getting ready to happen by this point, if it hadn't happened already. So I think the Horsemen were faces. And I don't think there was an iteration of the Horsemen at this time, actually.
Okay. I think
Flair was just teaming with Sting at this point. Or not teaming with him, but they were cool at this point, you know?
Well, this title, like we said, just to go over a few, Stan Hansen. Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, man. No, Stan Hansen's a really good champion, man. No, I like Stan Hansen, man. I really do, man. He was somebody, I just think, because he was such a big name in Japan and he established himself, there was kind of nothing for him in the States, really. It's just like you had to put the U.S. title on because he was that good. He really was.
And he loses that to Luger, which subsequently in the Texas Bull Road match becomes the WCW United States Heavyweight Championship. Yep. But I'm looking at Luger's runs, and they're insane, okay, with just this belt. And we're not talking about other U.S. titles that he had long runs with. that we're quite sure he's going to be the Mount Rushmore of Mount Rushmores for this U.S. title. I'm already stamping that right now. But 210 for one run, 523 for another run, 76 for another run, a 138 for another run. Like, 6 years. You just do the math. That was four. Okay. It was close to 4 years right there, which says point blank, this is Lex Luger's title. I mean, I was a kid, I always say Lex Luthor. Lex and Lex, you know what I mean? I used to think to this day, the torture rack is way more impressive than the full Nelson. That's all I'm saying. Give me a torture rack any day. That move actually hurts for real. If you ever put somebody in it, okay?
Yeah, it does. It does.
You're putting their back over your shoulders. You're using your one hand on their neck and you're pulling down their leg. That was a real wrestling move in a world where wrestling moves, we're not sure how real they really are these days and age. I tell you that much. But although, shout out to Seth Rollins for last night's Raw. That was a hell of a curb stomp. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. That was vicious.
Yeah.
Okay, but before we get up out of here, though, what are some of your favorite memories with this title?
Oh, easily this one, I would probably have to go with this, but like you, and it's funny you named it earlier. Now, Dusty and Luger, definitely for this. Like, that's probably the best match for this one, honestly. Also, Luger getting it back and subsequently changing it over to the, which we'll talk about soon, for the United States Championship for WCW. But no, definitely Dusty and Luger. Absolutely.
I'm going with the best of seven. I think if any list at all, we can put him on, because we couldn't put him on the TV title. We looked for it. I couldn't find it when we did that. I've been dying to put Magnum TA on one of these lists. And this is finally the list that he goes on.
Because
I think he will go on the U.S. tag title list as well. And that's just randomly just trying to remember titles that he had. Magnum TA to me, again, was that guy. If you're looking at today's wrestlers and you look at Hangman Page, look no further than Magnum TA with a touch of Stone Cold in him. But he was Magnum TA. I've never been a fan of him who should not say his name, Mr. Ryan. So that's where we're going to go with that, right? But he, to me, could have been a Magnum TA. He had a look of a Magnum. You know, if anybody remember the 80s and your mom made me watch Magnum PI, you know what I mean? Tom Selleck had the mustache, the hairy chest. But then he had the blonde mullet. A blonde mullet with black chest hair. Come on, y'all. That was America in the 80s. Okay, that's just what it was. And
it was.
That was good. Everybody had that. And to see Nikita Koloff at this point, you know, I've been arguing about Nikita Koloff for some time now as well. To me, he's one of my favorites.
You bring him up all time.
I think he's so forgotten. And I know that he has gone personally in his life on to, you know, finding his faith in God. And a lot of wrestlers who find their faith in God kind of step away from wrestling, because wrestling behind closed doors, it's a crazy, you know, kind of crazy business. Mm-hmm. And so I always want to pay respect, even if he doesn't, you know, hey, I remember you, my guy, my brother in arms. Your memories of me as a kid were awesome. As a heel, as a face, you made me think it was okay to like heels. There's Macho Man. Who else can you like as a heel? Not everybody was a Ric Flair guy. I get that. As a wrestling fan, we talked about this before, Corey. There's guys you don't like because of who they fight. I can't like Flair and the Four Horsemen. They're fighting freaking Rick. They're fighting Dusty Rhodes. Hello?
Yeah.
No, I forget the Horsemen. Okay, that's Dusty. So I didn't tell my other heel was, there's Nikita Koloff. And here go this guy who single-handedly takes down the Four Horsemen one by one, and when nobody was doing it. Okay, by himself, no tag team partners, nobody, just taking them out with him and his chain. Him and the Russian chain. That's all he had. Okay? And his uncle. You know what I'm saying? Then he go a guy who's a Russian. And people gotta understand here, I grew up in the 80s. Okay? What do you think makes Rocky IV the most popular Rocky movie of all time? Because it happened against Russia. Right? Why do you think they still get mad at that shit today when things come? What? So somebody said Russia? You just get out of nothing, get mad in this country when you hear the name Russia. Right? Mm-hmm. So here you got this Russian wrestler who's wearing the United States Championship, okay? It's like, it couldn't be no better than that, and that's what made it even better when Lex got it,
right?
Because here go Lex, He's friends with you know, with Sting, and he's, you know, where's Sting at with this title? Ha ha. We'll talk about that on other shows in the future.
It's coming. It's coming.
That. So just to give it to him one more time, Corey, the Mount Rushmore for this belt, we have agreement, and that would be.
Yeah, it's going to be not Dusty Rhodes. Wow, because you had me thinking of him just now. No. Nikita Koloff, Lex Luger, Magnum T.A., and Barry Windham.
Not the Widowmaker people.
Yeah, not the
Okay. No, I don't know what that was. Okay.
I don't know what that was.
Because listen, they may have got lucky with Gold Dust with Dustin, but when they didn't call him the Natural, Dustin Rhodes, I was like, ugh. Because the Natural, okay, and we'll talk about him on one of these lists coming up as well.
I was going to say, we'll get into it.
Dustin's going to get in this list somewhere. Well, hey, guys. With that being said, I am Mike Knotts. You can find me by my namesake. You see it right there below my name. That is Corey, nephew Corey from the Wrestling Marks of Excellence. My kicks are my fix on Twitter and Instagram, wherever social media is sold. You can find us as well. So with that being said, guys, episode 9 was a short one, but it was still a good one, y'all. We out of here, y'all. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
The champ is here. The champ is here.